Today on Bold Steps, we're beginning a brand new series from Pastor Mark Jobe.
And he says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge. When you don't understand the ways of God, you begin to carve out your own ways. But oftentimes our ways, even though they seem right at the time, if they're not matched up with God's ways, our ways can end up destroying our life.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and also senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. And Mark, I'm looking forward to this because today we begin a brand new series based on the book of Colossians, a series you've titled First Things First.
You know, Wayne, it's so difficult in a very busy world with so many demands in our life to keep our priorities straight.
Lots of competing things, aren't there?
There are. And so this series is called First Things First, Theology for Everyday Life. And some of you, as you hear the teaching out of Colossians, you're going to realize unless you get the first button right, all the other buttons are going to get misplaced. And so this is about getting your priorities straight.
All right, let's kick off this new series with our first message titled Growing Beyond the Basics. Here's Pastor Mark Jobe.
How many of you know that it's really hard to keep our priorities straight? Isn't it hard? I mean, it seems like everybody is demanding a piece of our time and every area of life wants to be a priority, right? It seems like you have the teacher saying, your child's education is a priority. You need to make sure you do the homework with them, and if they need tutoring classes, send them to tutoring, be it at all the parent-teacher conferences, and make sure you help them with the handwriting because it's sloppy. My 9-year-old really struggles with sloppy handwriting. And make sure you help them out. The coach, if your children are in any kind of sports, is saying, hey, this needs to be a priority. There's going to be 2 hours of practice every day. They need to be there. If they miss a practice, then they have to miss the next game. And if they play on Sunday, well, they play on Sunday. But if they're going to be a good player, this needs to be a priority. Your boss at work is telling you, hey, your job needs to be a priority in your life. I mean, if you're going to get ahead in this company, you need to make sure that your job is number one. I mean, you need to work overtime when we give you overtime. You need to work hard. Think about this job. Wake up how to get ahead, how to get your area of the business ahead. So if you're going to get ahead in this company, we need to be number one. Your doctor's telling you your health needs to be a priority. You need to eat better. You need to sleep 8 hours a day. You need to get up and you need to exercise. You need to eat some more of the green stuff, right? It's always green. You need to eat some more of that green stuff and you need to make your health a priority. Your accountant's saying, hey, your finances need to be a priority, man. You need to get on a budget. You need to start paying off your credit card debt. You need to start making sure that you're paying into your retirement. You need to make sure that you are keeping an eye on how your finances are going. That needs to be a priority in your life. The presidential candidates are saying, hey, this election needs to be a priority. You need to know what we believe. You need to know what's going on. You need to go out there and vote. It seems like everybody in life wants your priorities. Your girlfriend's saying, hey, I don't feel like I'm a priority to you. I mean, really, when's the last time we've had a heart-to-heart conversation? When's the last time you wrote me a card? It's been ages since you sent me flowers. I just feel like I'm not number one. Your wife is saying, hey, I feel like I haven't been a priority for a while. When are you going to take time for the family? When are we going to sit down and talk? When am I going to be number one? When am I going to be before your mother? When am I going to be a priority? And some of us feel like we're being tossed and pulled and tugged, and everybody wants a piece of you, and everybody wants to be a priority. And finally, you come to church, you sit in your seat, you're a little bit tired and exhausted, you take a deep breath, and guess what? This morning, I want to talk to you about Jesus being a priority in your life as well. But here's the thing. Here's the difference between God being at the center and everything else. The difference is this. I believe that if God takes the place he deserves in your life, everything else begins to fall into place. Do you remember the story of Jesus when Jesus was at the house of Mary and Martha? Mary and Martha were sisters of Lazarus, the fellow that died and Jesus resurrected from the dead. And Jesus was at the house and there was a commotion because he was there. And Martha, being the older type A personality sister, was out there getting everything ready, setting the table, looking, make sure everything was for the guests, cleaning up the house, ordering people around. She was sweating. She was anxious. She was nervous. And her sister Mary was sitting there listening to Jesus. And finally, Martha had had enough, and she looks at Jesus. She says, Jesus, I'm running around doing all this work. Would you tell Mary to get up and help me? And Jesus looks at Martha, and he says, Martha, Martha. How many of you know when your name is said twice, you're in trouble? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and anxious about a lot of things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that one thing. Now, this is pretty important, isn't it? I mean, Jesus is saying that only one thing is needed in life, and that Mary had chosen that one thing. Then I want to know, what was Mary doing that was so important, that's crucial to life? And so let's zoom in on Mary. And here I see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, attentively listening to what Jesus had to say. Here's what we discover: that Mary was taking time in her life to make Jesus a priority. Here's the question I have for you. Here's a question I want to ask you. Go ahead, you could turn the phone off, answer the phone. We're not going to tell. Just, you know, do it quietly like this. Here's the question I have for you. Here's the question I have for you. Where is Jesus in your life today? Is he a priority? Is he at the center? Because if Jesus is not at the center of your life, then I can guarantee you there's a lot of chaos and out of order things in your life until Jesus takes the proper place. He deserves to be at the center. The entire book of Colossians is about the centrality of Jesus, the supremacy of Jesus. And if Jesus is at the center of your life, what you will discover is that it helps center your marriage. It helps organize your finances. It helps you in your relationships. But if Jesus is not at the center, if you don't have your spiritual life in order, then everything else in life will be out of order as well. So the Apostle Paul is speaking to these young believers that had come to Christ, and he knows that they are sincere about their faith, but he wants them to go beyond just believing. Some of you have come to Christ and consider yourselves followers of Christ or believers in Christ, but you need to go beyond just the basics. You need to grow in your Christianity beyond just basic Christianity, and you need to be growing into maturity. And this is all about that. In fact, he prays a prayer for them, and he prays four things into their life. And these four things are vital for your growth and maturity if you're going to get beyond the basics. I'll begin reading in verse 9. It says, for this reason. For what reason? For the reason that Paul says, I know that your faith is sincere, that you've grown, that the gospel is yours, because you are authentic about your walk with God, because you know Jesus, because it's the real deal. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God. And now he prays four things into their life. Four things that every believer needs. Four things that every person needs if they are going to live a Christ-centric life, if they're going to be centered spiritually. These four things are vital to your life and vital to my life. And he states these four things. He says, first of all, he says, I pray asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the first thing that you and I need, if we're going to grow beyond just the basics, is that you need to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Here's what I want you to know. There's a couple of key words here. One is filled, the other is knowledge, and the other is will of God. To be filled means that you're saturated with something. Not just that you're vaguely aware of God's will, but that you are so full of God's will that it saturates your entire being. Have you ever seen a sponge? You take a sponge and you put it underwater, and that sponge becomes saturated with the water, right? It becomes heavy with that water. And when you squeeze that sponge, water spills out of it because it's saturated, filled with water. When you as a believer become filled with the knowledge of God's will, when you are under pressure, when you are squeezed, you squeeze out will of God. Because that's what you're filled with. That's what you know. And he says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge. It tells us in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. You know, there's a lot of people making bad decisions and a lot of people that are destroying their life because they lack knowledge. They lack knowledge. Not knowledge about just worldly things, but they lack knowledge of the will of God. They don't understand the ways of God. And when you don't understand the ways of God, you make your own ways. And Scripture says in Proverbs, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. You begin to carve out your own ways, but oftentimes our ways, even though they seem right at the time, if they're not matched up with God's ways, our ways can end up destroying our life. There are some of you here that you've run your life for 30 years, and you know what? Your life's a mess. Because you ran your life. You did it your way, with your understanding. And now you're spending a lot of time mopping up after a lot of your messes. And it's funny because God is saying to you now, how about if you do it my way? And you're like, well, no, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it your way. Well, you just made a mess for the last 30 years. You might as well give God a try. I don't think you can do any worse than what you've done. And he says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will.
And there is plenty more coming in just a moment. You're listening to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, his message titled, Growing Beyond the Basics. And if you ever have trouble joining us here on the radio, or if you'd simply like to hear these biblical teachings while you're out for a walk or running errands, you can always listen right from your phone by subscribing to our podcast. Just open your smartphone or mobile device and go to your favorite podcast app and then search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. Be sure to click the subscribe button to have these messages downloaded automatically. And of course, we'd love for you to leave a comment and like our page. Let us know that these teachings mean something to you. So now, let's return to our message for today. Once again, here's Mark Jobe.
You know, the will of God is something hard to understand because the will of God ties into the sovereignty of God. Sovereign means that God is over and in control of all things. God is above time. God is above every circumstance. So when we talk about the will of God, we're talking about the design and purpose and plan of God. And here's what I want you to understand. God has a purpose and a plan for every life that's in this auditorium. And let me tell you this. God knows your name. And not only does he know your name, listen, he knows your middle name. Everything about you, God knows. And here's the thing, God has a design and purpose and a will for your life. God has a will, his sovereign will for your life, which is his plan for your life. And oftentimes our plan for our life doesn't match the plan that God has for our life. And so the Bible says, Paul says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. I, as a pastor, I have people ask me all the time, Pastor Mark, I just want to know God's will. And usually they're referring to major decisions in life, like I want to know if God's will for me to marry this person. I want to know if God's will for me to take this job. I want to know if it's God's will for me to move to this other state. I want to know if it's God's will in my life for me to make this investment. And it's about big decisions in life oftentimes, and we say, I want to know God's will. It's funny, when it comes to moving, it seems like people always are looking to move to warmer states, though. Seems like it's always God's will. People say, God called me to Florida, Texas, Arizona, California. I don't remember the last time when someone said, hey, God's called me to Alaska. Or God's called me to Duluth, Minnesota, where, you know, no one says that. It's always the warmer states. God must have a bent towards the warmer states. I don't know. But what is the will of God? And it tells us in this passage of Scripture how to discover the will of God. You say, well, I want to know the will of God. How do I discover God's will? Well, it makes it very clear in this passage. It says that you may be full of the knowledge of the will of God. And how do I attain that knowledge? It says this, listen, the latter part of verse 9. Filled with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. A lot of us try to gain knowledge of the will of God through studying and through our intellect. But what I want you to understand is that the main way of knowing the will of God is not through your mind. The main way of knowing the will of God is through a sensitive spirit. Notice he says, through spiritual wisdom and understanding. He doesn't say simply through wisdom and understanding. He says through spiritual wisdom and understanding. How many of you know there's a big difference between just natural wisdom and natural understanding and spiritual wisdom and understanding? Spiritual wisdom and understanding, the word spirit, spiritual, comes from, obviously, from our spirit. I believe in the trichotomy of man. I believe that a person is composed of, as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that a person is composed of body, soul, and spirit. The body is the physical part of you. The soul has to do with your mind, will, and emotions, your personality, your intellect, your volition. And the spirit part of you has to do with that part of you that is intangible. You cannot touch, you cannot smell, you cannot feel, but it is the spirit part of you that relates to God. In John chapter 4, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The way that God typically communicates to us is via our spirit. And here's the thing. If God speaks to you mainly through your spirit, then when your spirit is dull, or when your spirit is hard, or when there is blockage to spiritual communication, then you do not hear what God is trying to say to you because you're dull spiritually. Oftentimes when Jesus was speaking, he says, all that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of God has to say. Well, most of his audience had ears. But what Jesus was talking about is not physical ears. Jesus was talking about spiritual ears. Do you realize that you could hear my words this morning and not understand the meaning of my words this morning if your spirit is hard? Do you realize that the Word of God can go forward with power and life-changing anointing, and some of you will not be affected by it because your spirit is dull and closed down and hard? Do you realize that two people can sit next to each other in the same service, hear the same message, be exposed to the same worship, and one can walk out of that place saying, God has spoken to me, I've been touched, There was revelation deposited in my life. God has taken his word and opened things up. I've discovered things. The Spirit of God has spoken to me through the Holy Spirit, and walk out of this place a transformed, encouraged individual being shaped in the image of Jesus. And right next to that person, in the same service, the same worship, in the chair right next to him, there could be someone else. They hear the same message, the same word. They experience the same thing. And they can walk up and say, how was service? Kind of long. A little boring. Kind of hot in there. Music was loud. Can't wait to get to the Bears game. You say, hey, what happened? Same place. Same word. Same message. Different result. What's the problem? The problem is that the Word of God travels via our spiritual openness. And when we are spiritually open to the things of God and sensitive and repenting and open lines of communication, that is how God ministers to us via our spirit. If our spirit is hard, we cannot grasp spiritual things, so therefore they bounce off of us and do not change us. How do we have a hard spirit? We have a hard spirit through several ways. One, when there's unbelief in our heart, we refuse to believe God. Two, when there's things in our life that we refuse to deal with that make us hard spiritually. You know that you can come here, and if God is dealing with something and you refuse to deal with it, you say, no, 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 no. That after a while, the Bible says that your heart becomes calloused. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, do not harden your heart, as the people of Israel did in the day of rebellion. But today, if you hear his voice, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Because your heart can get hard to the things of the Spirit of God. And when God starts to speak to you, you don't hear his voice anymore. It doesn't phase you. You hear the words, but you don't hear the power of the Spirit behind it. If you want to know the will of God, you have to be full of spiritual understanding and wisdom, and that means that you have to, before you arrive at a service like this, you need to do what I do on a regular basis before I preach, before I come to worship service. I say to God, I pray that you would cleanse my heart, Lord, and if there's anything in my life that would hinder the power of the word, I pray that you would reveal it so I can deal with it before you. And God, I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, because I don't want to speak just the words of man. I want to speak the words empowered by the Spirit. I want it to be your words, your Holy Spirit, with your divine anointing that goes out and touches people's lives. And if there's anything that I need to deal with right now, God, I want to be a clean vessel.
We're growing beyond the basics here on Bold Steps, the Bible teaching ministry of Mark Jobe. Today, Mark began a brand new series called First Things First, Theology for Everyday Living. And if you missed any of today's broadcast, feel free to catch up over on our website at boldstepsradio.org. While you're there, you can also check out the other faith-building tools we have available, including this month's Bold Steps gift, a special resource that will help you grow beyond the basics in your marriage. And here's Mark to tell us more about it.
In marriage, stagnancy, miscommunication, and distance can all lead to a very painful place. And for many couples, these relational pitfalls have a way of showing up out of nowhere, causing rifts and setbacks in areas we didn't realize we were vulnerable in. But for every marital challenge we may face, God has an answer. And in his book called A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage, New York Times bestselling author Gary Chapman lays out some fundamental steps that we can all take to bring God's healing hand into our marriages today. We see that even in tough times, we can still find ways to grow and deepen our relationship with our spouse and with God. Look, no one said that marriage would be easy, but if you, your spouse, or someone you know is feeling stuck, well, our Bold Step gift is a resource you won't want to miss. So request a copy of A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps.
Thank you, Mark. And if you can do that right now, visit us online at boldstepsradio.org or call us at 844-615-7363. If you prefer, you can also send your donation and request for this book in the mail. Write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And as we near the end of this fiscal year, we invite you to help us cross this finish line strong and set up for a new year of gospel outreach with a special donation of any amount. Consider giving an additional $25 or $50 or more and seize this opportunity to help bring God's word to other communities. Or maybe take an even bigger step in your ministry and set your giving on a monthly basis as one of our Bold partners. To learn more about the global impact and exclusive benefits that come with your monthly donation, just visit our website. Again, that's boldstepsradio.org. By the way, if you're on social media, be sure to connect with us there for a more personal behind-the-scenes look with Bold Steps. Just log on to your Facebook or Instagram account and search for Bold Steps Radio and then click the like or follow button. Well, I'm Wayne Shepherd. That's it for now, but we'll see you tomorrow for part two of Mark's new message on growing beyond the basics. It's an empowering message you won't want to miss coming up Wednesday on Bold Steps with Mark Joe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.